Last month, global phenomenon Pokemon Go.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with his Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Hey, with so many bottles to choose from, there's always something new to try at Total Wine & More. How about a great Prosecco for under $8? Or French Rosé for under $7? With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly, B21. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Ryan Ballingine joins us from Golf News Net to help us with the PGA Championship. How are you, my friend?
Good, Tony. How are you?
Good. All right. So, Oak Hill. My big question right out of the gate is this. I grew up in the northeastern part of the United States. May was always an iffy month. We'd be coming out of, like, the winter. It'd still be wet. It would still be kind of muddy. How's the course for a PGA Championship in Rochester, New York?
This is an interesting venue in that it was selected before the PGA of America announced it was moving to May. So this was originally supposed to be played in August.
And much better.
Just like every other PGA Championship before 2019. Well, not every one of them, but a lot of them before 2019. And so they made this change. And they didn't go to Oak Hill and say, you know, this might not be the best choice. We're still going to, you know, maybe we shouldn't have it. Maybe we should move it somewhere warmer. And fortunately, they're on the right side of a weather forecast that has the weather in the high 60s to the high 70s, depending on the day. But today and in the mornings, it sounds like it's going to be pretty chilly. And the wind, you know, the feels like temperature, the wind chill is something like 40 degrees this morning, which is cold. I mean, that's not great for major championship golf or any kind of golf. So it's going to be awkward probably the first couple of days. Saturday is supposed to be warm, but it's also supposed to rain quite a bit. So for the players who are going to get that early tee time, between 7 and probably 8 a.m. on Thursday and Friday, they're looking at a chilly start, and they're probably playing in what feels like somewhere in the 30s and 40s. It's not going to be easy, and the ball's not going to go as far.
All right, so we have Oak Hill, which has hosted U.S. Opens in the past, PGA's last in 2013. It's hosted a Ryder Cup, but this year, this course has changed. Is it dramatic changes or just an adjustment or two to a couple of holes? Like we saw at Southern Hills a year ago.
It's pretty dramatic. They had a guy named Andrew Green come in and do a renovation and a restoration of this East course that the Donald Ross designed originally. And he came in and knocked down something like 600 trees. They still have way more they want to get rid of, but they knocked down 600. And he has enlarged a lot of the putting surfaces that you may or may not remember from 10 years ago and reshaped them to look a lot more like how Donald Ross had designed them. Now, a couple of these holes are not originals. They were brought in at different points by different architects. I think Robert Trent Jones may have done it, or Reese Jones, I can't remember. But he took those couple of holes and redid the greens to be more Ross-like. So they're big. There's plenty of tricks to them. There's a lot of undulation to them. They're not kind of the turtleback style you might think about with Ross at like a Pinehurst number two. There's a lot of movement in them, and they're going to be pretty tricky. But the golf course is also particularly long. A couple of par threes over 230 yards. Bunch of par fours over 460 yards, it's par 70, so there's only two par fives. There's a lot of ask here on this golf course.
All right, so let me ask you the favorites of John Rahm, I think, would be on your list, Scottie Scheffler. Who are the couple of others that have a game for Oak Hill?
I think Xander Schauffele is going to be a popular pick. If you look at the last 10 PGA Tour events, he's the leader in strokes gained on average per event played. He hasn't played maybe as much, but most superstars haven't, but he has been playing great golf. I think a lot of people are going to find love a little bit more down the board with Tyrrell Hatton and Sungjae Im. Those guys have been playing great golf. Sungjae Im's probably been one of the most consistent players on the PGA Tour this year. Feels like a lock for a top 20, top 10 kind of guy this week. But Tyrrell Hatton is a little bit more prone to being a bit of a volcano, but he has played very well the last probably handful of times out. And he does have the game to win on difficult golf courses. And then maybe a little bit further down the board, I know a lot of people like Justin Rose. He won at Pebble Beach this year. He has played particularly well in the PGA Championship in the last 5 years. And maybe with that little added confidence from that win at Pebble, thinking that maybe an older guy could win and maybe buck the general trend, Phil Mickelson excluded, of guys in their 20s winning this championship recently.
Anybody from LIV that's playing well on that tour that could be a threat at Oak Hill?
I think people will think about Taylor Gooch because he won back-to-back events on LIV. He's 65-1 the last time I looked. Brooks Koepka, people are going to think about, of course, because he played well at the Masters, has won two PGAs, but he's also been on this downtrend really since that 2019 win of fading on Sundays with a chance to win at majors. Dustin Johnson just won last week on LIV. But my problem trying to take anything from those LIV events is they are set up for these guys to win at 20 under par through three rounds. And that's not the way this golf course is going to play. It's a completely different brand of golf, and I don't think it necessarily lends itself really well to trying to predict based on those results.
All right. I wanted to ask you about LIV because you bring it up, but it feels like Rory's been shutting down kind of the conversation. Are we at that point now where it's not an old story? I don't want to say it's still not an important part of golf, but are we at a point where the initial disagreements are kind of going away and this is now just the way golf is going to be? Or is there still some animosity? How do you see it playing out now?
I don't get the sense that there's the same animosity there was when this started. I still think on the LIV side, those players harbor some resentment toward whether that's the DP World Tour, a bunch of DP World Tour guys that play, just resigned their membership because they didn't want to pay fines to the DP World Tour. On the PGA Tour, not so much, I don't think. I mean, I think the guys that were liked and left are still liked. The guys that weren't liked and left are still disliked. So that is what it is. But from a LIV PGA Tour relationship standpoint, there still really isn't any, and I don't foresee any unless LIV goes away. So from the lawsuit standpoint, LIV versus PGA Tour, there are no players remaining in it. So now really the existence of this lawsuit remains down to whether the Saudis want to let the governor of the public investment fund that owns and funds LIV Golf to testify and participate in discovery in this lawsuit in the hopes that maybe they somehow take some shred of dignity out of getting smashed around in the American court system. I don't think they're going to let that last for much longer. And then at that point, the only thing that's left to do is maybe award official world golf ranking points to LIV events based on how players finish in those tournaments. And I think they're probably working through that behind the scenes a little bit. I would guess there's some resolution on that by the end of the year. But I think McIlroy's just kind of sick of being asked about everything related to it every single time at these majors and it comes up. And it's just kind of a live and let live, no pun intended, situation.
Ryan Ballinger, Golf News Net, joining us on the PGA Championship, which will be starting on Thursday at Oak Hill Country Club. Did you think that the Australian event for LIV was a turning point? It looked like it was fun. People seemed to enjoy it. I know that the location is always a big deal. It can appear bigger than what it is based on where you go. But did that allow sort of a more, I don't know, respectability that they had a lot of people there and they seemed to have a good time?
Yeah, I mean, Australia is such a great golf country, and they are really starved for big golf tournaments. They have two of the best tournaments in the world, in my view. The Australian Open is great. The Australian PGA Championship is a lot of fun. They used to have a third event, Aussie Masters. It's where Tiger famously got caught with Rachel Yucatel. But that used to be a trio of really great events toward the tail end of the year. But now they really don't have much juice behind them because all of the money is elsewhere and the schedule just doesn't work. So to have this event is a big deal for Australia. And it was well received, well turned out. But then you went the next week to Singapore, there was like nobody there. And then in Tulsa, you had, what, 8,000 to 10,000 people a day, still giving away a ton of tickets. So it's not exactly great attendance across the board. They had their one big win in Australia. And curiously enough, and I don't know why they've made this choice, they're going to come and play in my neck of the woods next week at Trump National Golf Club in Northern Virginia, in the bluest part of the country. I mean, there's no shortage of Democrats and people who have no love lost for Trump, much less Greg Norman and the Saudis. So I don't really have any sense of how many people are going to show up to that. I think they're going to have a couple of wins here and there. I would say Tulsa was a pretty well-attended event, and certainly the Australian one was great. But then you're going to have a bunch of other ones that are not going to be well-attended. And I think at the end of the day, what really matters to them is, can you get people to watch on American television? And so far, the answer has been no.
I do want to ask you this one question. I only got a minute, but and maybe it's a longer answer that we'll revisit next time. But this conversation that I've been hearing about, we've got to shorten the ball. The ball can't go as far. As a golfer, as a competitive golfer, it's one thing for us to just go, oh, yeah, just make the ball shorter. But how do pros feel about it when the physics of that may affect how a ball is chipped, pitched, how an iron may fly, how a wedge may fly. It can't just be shortening drives. It has to affect the overall physics. How do you feel about that conversation?
I've been for a rollback for as long as I've been talking about golf, for 20 years. And I say that as a competitive golfer, and I say that as someone who's an observer, journalist, whatever, in golf. But I think there is a lot more that still needs to be hashed out about what a model local rule looks like and what a ball that conforms to that rule looks like and how it performs. We don't know any of the parameters around that yet. We just know the USGA wants something that goes less. What that looks like, that's still very much TBD.
Ryan, great stuff as always. Enjoy the PGA Championship. We'll catch up with you down the road, my man.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Always good talking to you. Ryan Ballinger, Golf News Net. That's a great site for all of the golf news that you want, including this week, PGA Championship at Oak Hill. We'll talk more as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.